We saw the results of the blast before we heard from the transport. I was at the airfield helping stow gear on what was likely the last of our transports. We did not need to load the transport. If Tomer succeeded in setting off his bomb, we would leave the gear on Terrano. If he failed, we'd be stuck on the planet, gear and all. Either way, the only reason to repack was to distract ourselves. Paying little attention to the darkness around me, I looked out of the kettle and saw my men staring into the night sky. I trotted down the ramp and stared into the beautiful blackness with its ribbons of clouds. Above the clouds, stars sparkled like diamond shards.
They made it! God damn, they made it!
My pilot had already picked up their radio signal by the time I reached the cockpit.
I've got them, sir.
Tomer, report.
We set off the nuke.
There's a night sky above Norristown. Did you take casualties?
No, sir. We did not see any opposition.
That's good news, Tomer. That's really good news.
I'm not sure what kind of damage we did to the planet. We did a flyby. Several mountains caved in after the explosion. Those mines ran several miles deeper than the ones on New Copenhagen. We never reached the bottom.
Well done, Sergeant. And then I told him about our defense of Norristown. Considering what we had accomplished, I did not paint a very glorious picture.
They outnumbered you, sir.
Thanks. Report back to the Kamehameha as soon as possible.
Will do, sir.
It only took me a minute to reach Admiral Thorne. Having seen the ion curtain disappear from the atmosphere, he had expected the call.
Congratulations, Captain.
Thank you, sir. How does the planet look from topside?
The radiation readings around the Danforth Mountain Range are off the charts. People will be avoiding that site for the next few thousand years. What's the damage look like?
I lost 60% of my men.
And a small price to pay to rescue a planet, Captain. But I wasn't asking about casualties. What does Norristown look like? Are there many survivors? If you know who is in charge, tell him I want to tour the city.
The city is almost gone. I can't say what the rest of the planet looks like, but Norristown is just about a bust.
What about Colonel Doctorow? Did you find him?
Yes, sir. We found Doctorow. You want the leader of Norristown? He's your man.
You'll give him my message?
Yes, sir. If it's all right with you, sir, I'd like to stay here this evening to debrief him. He should be landing shortly. I can...
As you wish, Captain. I will need to speak with him separately.
Yes, sir. The people of Norristown might not have welcomed our visit, but they were glad to be freed. The party they threw lit the horizon. Most of my men headed into town to join in the celebration, but I stayed back to deal with my regrets and my ghosts. I wanted some time to myself. I spent the night in a transport, sitting in the pilot's seat. The cockpit faced east. Beyond the gates of the airfield, I saw the outskirts of Norristown. A myriad of lights marked the part of town where the locals held their celebration. I stared on past the lights to the mountains, just visible on the other side of town. Beyond the mountains, the sun had already begun to rise. The sky looked like it was carved from the skin of a very ripe peach. Romanticizing sunsets and starry skies did not fit in my nature. But after the ion curtain, I welcomed the brindle sky. Tomer came into the cockpit and sat with me.
What are you doing here?
I didn't feel like having a good time, so I came to see you.
Thanks.
It was either that or I could have shot up some Falzud. Do you think they're gone for good?
Those sons of bitches must have a million planets under their thumb. I think they can afford to let one or two slip away.
A million planets? What is that, a trillion planets? You really think that many planets exist?
Damn it, Tomer, I'm a Marine, not an astronomer. How the hell should I know?
Yeah, good point.
After that, neither of us spoke. We sat there, staring out the windshield, glad to see a sunrise.
Permission to come aboard.
I turned around and saw Reverend Doctorow peeking his head through the cockpit door.
Come on in.
You want me to leave?
Don't leave on my account. Are you thirsty, Sergeant?
He offered Tomer the first beer. He offered me a bottle, then opened one for himself.
Have I come at a good time?
It's fine.
You know, Captain Harris, you had me scared when you first arrived. I thought fleet intervention would only make things worse. I was wrong.
I spoke with Fleet Command an hour ago. The last atmospheric readings came up completely clean. From what they can tell, the aliens are gone.
Yes, Admiral Thorne gave me the same report. A toast, then, to a free planet with afternoon skies and stars at night.
Afternoon skies and starry nights.
We traded nods instead of tapping bottles. Then we drank. Somehow he had chilled the beer. It tasted cold and fresh.
It almost doesn't seem real. After all those years, you chased the aliens away in a single day. Who would have known?
Well, it did not go as well as I hoped. Have you spoken to O'Dool?
Oh, yes, Kareem. He's a man who understands sacrifice. You did what you had to do. He knows that.
Does he believe it?
Down deep, yes. He'll never come out and say it, but yes, I think that is precisely what he believes. So what's next for you, Captain Harris?
Now we rebuild Terrano. We have enough engineers and equipment to have Norristown lit and self-sustaining by the end of the month. We're all going to go hungry if we don't start building some food stores soon.
A farming planet? Excellent. Where do you intend to set up your base?
Fort Sebastian.
I'm not sure that will be an acceptable arrangement, Captain.
It's not as if we have other options.
Admiral Thorne told me about your situation.
Yeah, well, I never planned on retiring in Scrotum Crotch.
There's no need for vulgarity, Captain. Sorry, force of habit from my days as a chaplain. I am sure we can find a more suitable arrangement. Terrano is a large planet. Surely we can find locations other than Norristown for you to use as a military base.
I don't get it. Why can't we use Fort Sebastian?
It's not the base that I would object to. It's what happens to the town around it.
So you're worried we won't behave ourselves? What is this? Your own personal theocracy?
I am trying to foster a community, not a theocracy.
How did you become the king of Norristown anyway?
The bard of Norristown might be a better description.
Outside, a new day had begun.
Will you look at that? There's a sun in the sky over Norristown. Do you know how long it's been since I've seen one? It may not mean much to you.
It means a lot to me. How about you, Sergeant? Does it mean anything to you?
Like swimming underwater and suddenly getting your first breath of air.
Yeah, right. Like getting your first breath of air.
Colonel Doctorow, what did you mean by the Bard of Norristown?
In a figurative sense, I am in charge because I am a singer of epic verses.
Is that what you do?
You seem to be the man in charge.
Doctorow told me the history that I had missed. He talked about the fall of Norristown and the deaths of over 1 million soldiers. After the aliens spread their ion curtain around the planet, the army had managed to hold out for a month. During that entire time, Doctorow remained on active duty, delivering sermons to men who he believed had no souls, and blessing the mass graves of men who he believed had no hope.
It came to nothing. Prayers, works, faith, nothing.
Sounds like you lost your faith.
Lost my faith. I still believe there is a God, if that's what you mean by faith. But if he is anything like I picture him, he's not much of a shepherd.
If not a shepherd, then what?
Just a voyeur. Just a cosmic witness. A bystander who probably thinks it strange that we still call to him for help when he hasn't done anything to help any of us for thousands of years. He probably hears us calling and laughs.
For with the old gods, things came to an end long ago. One day they laughed themselves to death.
What was that?
It's something an old philosopher said. He said the gods laughed themselves to death.
Well, now, there's some blasphemous bullshit.
There's no need for vulgarity, Colonel.
Gods laughed themselves to death. You have to admit, it does sound pretty stupid.
Thomas says you're a liberator clone, is that right? He says you know you're a clone.
That's right.
He says he knows he's a clone, too.
We do live in an age of miracles. So, you were explaining to us how you became the poet of Norristown?
Not so much a poet, maybe a historian. I recorded the defense of Norristown one funeral at a time. I was like a New Age version of Homer recalling the Siege of Troy. Now you've come along and changed the ending of the story.
How did you end up in charge?
Most of the line officers died. Some took their own lives. That left me the highest-ranking man on base. When the fighting died down, the people came to Fort Sebastian looking for protection, and I gave them the best advice of all. I told them not to fight. At the time, I told them to trust in God because God would protect them. As it turned out, we didn't need God to protect us. Once we stopped taking up arms, the aliens went away.
Well, maybe that was how God protected them.
You're defending God?
It just seems like that's how God works.
That was how I rose from a chaplain to leader. Funny, it happened so gradually that I never stopped to think about it.
So are you the governor of Norristown or the whole planet?
I don't know. I've never been outside of Norristown. We lost contact with the rest of the planet.
Why did you put all those girls in that building?
They're orphans. We put them there so we could keep them safe.
Safe from whom?
Just safe.
The building I was in, was that a dorm for orphan boys? Were they just trying to keep themselves safe when they rigged the walls with explosives? They almost killed me.
They weren't trying to hurt you, Captain Harris. They barricaded the door with a propane canister from their kitchen. It was the heaviest thing they could find. Fortunately for all of us, they were already running for the fire escape when you tossed your grenade at the door. That kind of behavior is another reason we would prefer for you to build your base away from Norristown.
When I reached my quarters on the Kamehameha, I found an empty room with a neatly made bed. Ava? For a moment, and just a moment, I worried that something had gone wrong. That thought passed quickly. I opened the bathroom door and switched on the light. I turned toward the shower. The bedroom appeared clean and completely untouched, but the bathroom looked lived in. A bouquet of empty MRE pouches filled the wastebasket, a set of utensils lay in the sink, and a shadow moved behind the glass of my shower stall door. If you don't come out of there, I'm going to have to come in. So that's how it's going to be. I pulled the shower door open, and there she was, dressed in a tank top and panties.
Honey, I was hoping you would be hard, but this is ridiculous.
We showered together and made love. Afterward, we lay in bed. I stroked her wet hair and kissed her. Dreading her reaction, I told her I needed to go to the bar for drinks with my men, but she just cocked an eyebrow and smiled. You're not upset?
I will be if you come back empty-handed.
I drank with my boys and grabbed a few beers before leaving the bar. On my way back, I stopped by the mess hall and picked up food for two. By the time I made it back to my quarters, I had a small salad, sandwiches, fruit cocktails, cheesecake, and four beers. I hope you're hungry. She looked at the food, then looked at me with her this-is-better-than-sex smile, and I knew that I had graduated from benefactor-lover to friend. Ava and I ate together and talked. She wanted to know everything that happened on Terrano. I told her about Harrington first, then about the rest of my men. She squeezed my hand and stopped eating, but said nothing. What was it like, hiding out in here?
I talked to myself. I hid in the bathroom talking to myself, and I never ran out of things to say. It beat living with Teddy. At least I had somebody to talk to.
What did you talk about?
With Teddy?
When I was gone.
I talked about you. I talked to myself about every man I have ever been with, and I compared them to you.
By this time, we were in bed, both of us naked. I had my arms around her. She felt warm. How did I do? How did I do?
Now, what kind of question is that?
An honest one?
Harris, I never thought of you as the insecure type.
I have my moments. Are you going to answer me?
I don't know why I would. If I say you are better than any of them, you won't believe me. If I say some of them were better than you, you'll get jealous. I think I'll just plead the first.
The right to free speech?
The right to tell you to shut the speck up, Harris.
Oh.
What is it like down there?
I told Ava about the building with the orphan girls. I told her how my men found it and how Dr. O had tried to protect it.
Oh, it sounds terrible, like a monastery. Oh, God. You're not thinking about...
You'll be safe there.
With the Latter-day Vestal Virgins? That's not safekeeping, honey. That's solitary confinement.
You wouldn't need to stay there long, just until we get the planet sorted out. It can't be any worse than hiding in the shower and talking to yourself.
She shifted on the pillow until our faces were only 3 inches apart. Then she reached up and stroked my eyebrow with a finger.
How did you get this scar over your eye?
Are you trying to change the subject?
No. How did you get that scar?
I got it in a fight.
But Marines wear helmets. Wouldn't your helmet protect you?
It was a fight, not a battle.
Like in a bar?
Not in a bar, in a ring.
Oh?
She reached around my back, where four parallel scars ran across my ribs.
How about these scars?
Same fight.
Oh, these must have hurt.
They did.
How many men were you fighting?
Just one.
I hope you hurt him back.
I did.
As bad as he hurt you?
He died.
You've killed a lot of people, haven't you, Harris?
When you make movies, what's it like doing a love scene?
It depends on the actor.
As I finally started to fall asleep, a parade of ghosts invaded my thoughts. I saw Harrington, white-haired and good-humored Harrington. I thought about transports falling through the atmosphere. And I thought about ghosts from other wars, too. After breakfast, I went to the conference room, where I met Tomer and Hollingsworth. We all arrived on time. Then we sat and we waited. And waited. The sailors arrived at the meeting 30 minutes late. Where is Warshaw?
He couldn't get away.
The speaker was Senior Chief Petty Officer Lilburn Franks.
Couldn't get away? This is a staff meeting. Do you know what he is doing?
He shrugged in a casual, offhand way.
I hear you and your boys saw action. What did you come back with, about one-third of your men?
That quip came from Senior Chief Petty Officer Perry Fahey.
Perhaps you see some humor in battlefield losses, Senior Chief.
Humor?
Is there something funny about the deaths of 170 Marines?
No.
I lost a close friend in that action, Senior Chief. Sergeant Lewis Harrington. Do you remember Harrington? He attended our last staff meeting.
I remember the sergeant.
He died liberating Terano. Is there a joke I am missing here, Senior Chief? If there is, I would sure expect love to be in on it.
No, sir.
Harrington died scouting for the enemy. Is that funny, asshole?
No, sir. I am sure Sergeant Harrington was a good man.
Still trying to calm myself down, I introduced the new addition to our council.
This is Master Sergeant Philo Hollingsworth. Sergeant Hollingsworth will take over Harrington's responsibilities.
I got the feeling that a few of the officers knew Hollingsworth. Nobody congratulated him, however. We all sat mute.
Let's get started. With Warshaw gone, that puts you on the hot seat, Senior Chief Fahey. What's your schedule for Terano?
My staff is overseeing that project.
The speaker was Senior Chief Petty Officer Jim Milton.
I landed a team of engineers in Norristown at 0600. Their preliminary reports are optimistic. After surveying the damage around Norristown, they say they can restore the power grid by the end of the week.
For all of Norristown?
The north, east, and central sectors, where most of the people live.
How soon can they get the juice going citywide?
The prospects look good, sir. The power plants are outside the city, in an area that the aliens never attacked. From what we've seen so far, the underground power lines are still in place, except in one area just west of town. Apparently an underground train system collapsed in that part of town.
What about Fort Sebastian?
Same thing, sir. We'll have it ready for your Marines in the next week.
Captain Harris, I heard you're going to restrict the use of that base.
That is correct.
Can't be serious about that. These men have not had shore leave for 4 years.
The locals are nervous about having us around. I don't want to do anything to upset them.
It sounds to me like somebody else is calling the shots around here.
Colonel Doctorow said...
He's got you licking his boots, does he?
We need Doctorow's cooperation.
Doctorow is no big deal. Show him who's in charge. Haul his ass up to the Washington and we'll straighten him out. I mean, Speck. According to his records, the bastard is absent without leave. If he's a specking criminal, throw him in the brig. I'll let you in on a secret, Harris. If you plan on running this arm, you need my crew a hell of a lot more than you need Doctorow.
Where do we stand on the blockade?
What blockade?
I issued orders for a blockade around Terano. I sent those orders to Master Chief Warshaw. Do you know if he received them?
He did.
And do you know if he has drawn up plans for the blockade?
Yes.
Yes, he drew up plans?
Yes, I know if he drew up plans.
Okay, so has he drawn up plans, Senior Chief?
Nope.
Do you know why he has not carried out my orders?
He was busy, so he passed the orders to me. I have not drawn up the plans. There's no point in establishing a blockade around a planet in an arm that we have all to ourselves. We're the only ones here, sir. Haven't you figured that out?
Okay, Senior Chief. So you have taken it upon yourself to countermand Master Chief Warshaw's orders. Is that correct? Before I have you arrested, would you like to explain why you have ignored a direct order from Master Chief Warshaw?
Captain, I guess I do not see why Terano would need a protective blockade.
You don't?
No, sir. We have no enemies in this arm. The broadcast network is down, and the aliens do not use ships. Having a blockade won't make a bit of difference if they return.
And you only comply with orders you agree with. Is that correct, Senior Chief?
No, sir.
Fahey, are you unable to obey orders or simply selective about which orders you follow? Should I charge you with dereliction of duty or mutiny?
Mutiny.
Okay, mutiny it is.
No, no, I was asking you. Are you charging me with mutiny?
Master Chief Warshaw gave you an order, and you chose to ignore it. He did give you the order to drop a blockade, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you decided against it?
I can drop the plans and have them to you within the hour.
That would be acceptable, Senior Chief. Do any of the rest of you have concerns that I need to know about?
When none of them said anything, I ended the meeting.
You need to bust that prick down. Slam his gay ass in the brig.
He isn't gay.
What do you mean he isn't gay? Son of a bitch comes to staff meetings wearing makeup.
Why do you think he wants to get to Norristown so bad? Tomer, you don't know how good you had it.
We were massacred by aliens and locked in relocation camps.
That's not what I meant. I know they ran you through the ringer. The enlisted men on the ship have not seen a woman for 4 years. Until you guys came with plans to retake Terranow, we had no reason to think any of us would ever see one again. You know what that does to a man? They're clones, Tomer, not eunuchs. If anything, their gonads are too active. Given a choice between a few months in a prison camp and a life sentence on a ship with nothing but men, which way would you go?
What about the makeup?
Most clones would much rather give than receive. Men who are a little more, flexible wear makeup to identify themselves.
You thought you would never see a woman again?
Wait now. You and Fahey didn't, you know...
No. We weren't even on the same ship.
Did you... you know...
Tomer, I didn't think I'd ever see any scrub again.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Sergeant, I need to have a private chat with Sergeant Hollingsworth.
Tomer left without saying a word.
Do you know what happens if you kill all the rattlesnakes? You get silent snakes instead. The only reason I didn't bust Fahey on the spot was because I always know where he stands. He's an asshole, but he telegraphs his punches, and that makes him useful. Warshaw's a different story.
Warshaw's all right. I know Warshaw much better than I know Fahey. We've been on the same ship for 6 years. He's all right.
You thought Fahey was cool, too.
I still do. He's a good sailor. He just,
He practically declared a mutiny. He's trying to pick a fight with me. Do you know what would happen if I let him goad me into a specking war? Which way do you think his sailors will go? Right or wrong, every sailor in Scrotum Crotch is going to side with Fahey if I bust him. Think about that. And while you mull it over, I have another question for you. Where are your loyalties?
You know where I stand. I'm a Marine.
Good. So if it comes down to a fight between me and Warshaw, I have you at my back?
Yes, sir.
What if they accuse me of going against regulations?
Then I guess we both go to the brig.
How about unified authority law?
What are you talking about?
Hollingsworth, if you have any questions about where your loyalties lie, you need to speak up. You are either all in or you're out.
I'm in. I'm all in.
I want to declare war on the unified authority.
Does Tomer know what you have in mind?
He does.
What kind of war? They're a trillion miles away. Don't waste your breath if you're planning to declare independence. They won't care. You'll just give Warshaw more ammunition to shoot you down.
What if we can take the fight to Earth?
Attack Earth.
Attack Earth.
Take my word on this one, Captain Harris. You can't hit them without a self-broadcasting fleet. Every man on this ship has spent the last 4 years of his life trying to figure out a way to get out of here. There is no way out.
Would you come along for the ride if there was a way out?
You're serious about this. You're really serious about this.
Sergeant, you know why we are out here. How do you feel about being abandoned on the outer edge of known space?
Have you discussed any of this with Warshaw? Sooner or later, he's going to need to hear about this.
Yeah, I know.
So, how do we get back to Earth?
I told Hollingsworth something that I had told to only one other person, Tomer. I told him about a self-broadcasting fleet that was even larger than the Earth fleet. The only problem was that all of its ships had been destroyed. 3 days after we returned from Terrano, I called Hollingsworth over the ship intercommunications system.
Sergeant, I hear you know how to fly a transport.
I haven't logged many hours, but I had the training. There's not much to it.
I have an errand I need to run on Terrano. Think you can take me?
Yes, sir.
It's a private matter, Sergeant. Do you think you can keep a lid on it?
Yes, sir. I won't discuss it with anyone, sir.
Meet me in the docking bay in 30 minutes. I already have a transport signed out. Ava seemed excited to leave. I watched her dress in her combat armor. Are you going to miss me?
Of course I will miss you.
Are you nervous?
Not at all.
I'll talk to Dr. O. I'll explain everything.
Of course you will.
He'll take care of you.
I'm sure he will, darling.
She fitted the helmet down over her head.
How do I look?
Like a Marine.
We should get going.
Hollingsworth met us in the transport, which he piloted down to Terrano. Ava and I got off while he waited for us. I drove her into town in a Jeep. When we'd planned this errand, I had told her that she should keep her helmet on for the short ride.
Are you excited?
Honey, are you joking? I haven't changed my clothes for 3 months now.
You had the tank tops.
Marine tank tops and boxers don't count. They're not clothes, they're gear.
Are you looking forward to anything besides a new dress?
Yes. I want to go for long walks in new clothes. And I want to talk with people.
We talked?
No offense, dear, but I mean other girls. Talking to Marines is nice, but it's not girl talk. You're sweet, but you're all guy. Take my word on this one. There are a lot of things that guys do not understand. Are you going to be okay, Harris?
Yeah, of course.
You know, you're pretty silly. You're never going to be very far away. I mean, how far can you get? You're stuck here just like the rest of us.
We entered the city center, or what was left of it, and Ava became silent. She looked around, taking in the devastation.
It's okay, Ava. They're gone. The aliens are gone. They're gone for good. You'll be safe here.
Wason, maybe I should go back to the ship.
I pulled the Jeep over and cut off the engine. Placing my hands on her shoulders, I turned Ava so that she faced me. I removed the helmet so I could be sure her eyes stayed on mine.
They are gone. You will be safe on this planet.
But what if they come back?
They won't.
I didn't know it would look like this. I don't know if I can ever feel safe here.
You'll be safe enough. Besides, you know what they have here that we don't have on the ship? They have dress shops.
But what if...
And shoe stores.
Can you protect...
And jewelry stores.
Damn it, Harris, you're such a specking guy.
Thank you.
It's not a compliment. If the women on this planet are anything like they were back in Hollywood, all the good stores will have been looted.
As we approached the three buildings the locals used for dorms, Ava's confidence dried up. She looked around at all the flat land and the rubble dunes.
This was a city.
The aliens that hit this place 4 years ago, they're all gone now. We chased them away.
But how can you be sure?
They haven't returned to New Copenhagen. It's been 2.5 years now.
Maybe this isn't a good idea.
You'll be safe.
Per my request, Dr. O met us at the dorms. Also per my request, he came alone.
I did not expect to see you back so soon, Captain.
I climbed out of my Jeep.
I have something to discuss in private.
Dr. O looked past me toward the Jeep, where Ava sat with her helmet on.
We're still not alone.
Actually, that's the reason I came.
Captain Harris, I hope you don't expect me to let this man anywhere near my dorm building. That is simply out of the question. Only a fool permits a weasel to enter his chicken coop.
As Dr. O spoke, I nodded to Ava and she removed her helmet.
How about an additional hen?
Good God!
There's no need for profanity.
Ava, this is Colonel Ellery Dr. O.
Hello, Colonel Dr. O. I'm Ava Gardner.
I see that.
She climbed out of the Jeep, shook out her hair, and let it fall around her shoulders. She looked like a child wearing an adult's armor.
I heard rumors that she was. I mean that you were. There are all kinds of stories about you being...
A clone?
What brings you to Norristown?
She needs a place to stay.
Would that be okay with you, Colonel?
No offense, ma'am, but you're a bit old to room with these girls.
Who takes care of them? They must need tutors and nannies. I can cook or clean.
I think she will be a lot safer here than on a ship.
I see what you mean. Of course she can stay. Of course.
Well, I guess my business is done here.
Paris!
She crashed into me and pressed her mouth against mine.
What kind of a goodbye was that?
I thought you were done with me.
I swear, Harris, you are such a guy. I'll be waiting for you. Come back soon.
As soon as I can.
Sooner.
Sooner.
I flew back on the transport with Hollingsworth to the Kamehameha. We stood in the open door of the kettle.
You know, Captain Harris, I was thinking about Fahey. He's okay. I mean, he popped off pretty bad in that meeting, but do you blame him? I mean, he's got to be desperate to find some scrub.
I hope you're right, Sergeant, because I'm going to flatten this specker next time he crosses me.
Okay, well, what I really want to say, sir, is give Warshaw a fair break. He's not like Fahey. He's a stand-up officer. We've been on the same boat for 6 years now, and I can tell you, he's not the kind of guy that shoots you in the back.
Well, speak of the devil.
Across the deck, Master Chief Petty Officer Gary Warshaw came bounding in our direction. In his right hand, Warshaw carried a folder with the seal of the Office of the Navy.
Captain Harris, may I have a private word with you, sir?
Hollingsworth nodded and walked down the ramp and out of the hangar.
What can I do for you, Master Chief?
I hope you don't mind, sir, but I asked Admiral Thorne if he would join us.
Not a problem.
Warshaw led me out of the landing area without any further explanation, and I followed without asking.
I'm sorry I missed your staff meeting the other day. I hear you and Fahey had some friction.
You might say that. Fahey seems to think he can ignore my orders.
I'll have a word with him about that. Congratulations on liberating Terrano. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, I lost most of my men. I'm not entirely sure that congratulations are in order.
You rescued a planet with a handful of Marines. Congratulations are in order. I haven't seen the official report, but I understand the fighting was fierce.
Warshaw chatted me up as we walked most of the length of the ship, finally ending up in a conference room near the bridge. Thorne had already arrived. The normally passive admiral sat at the table looking irritable, his thin lips pursed and his eyes not quite meeting ours.
What is this about?
I shrugged.
Actually, Admiral, I called this meeting, sir. Well, maybe not me. I suppose you would say that Admiral Brocious is calling the shots.
Admiral Brocious, he's back in Washington.
Yes, sir. I took the liberty of traveling to Earth.
You what?
I caught a ride back to Earth in the last transfer ship.
Unless one of my senior officers approved that trip, you were absent without leave, Master Chief.
You'll need to take that up with Admiral Brocious, Admiral. He approved my leave. Retroactively.
Warshaw placed the folder with the Office of the Navy seal on the table and pulled two envelopes from it. He slid Admiral Thorne an envelope with his name on it, then he handed me one with my name as well.
Sorry, Harris. It's nothing personal.
Beside me, Admiral Thorne silently read the contents of Admiral Brocious's memo, his face an impassive mask. I did the same. I read and realized that Warshaw had not the slightest clue of what was written in these orders. The poor bastard. Thorne reread his letter, then folded it and slipped it back into its envelope. I placed mine face down on the table.
So it's official, Harris. Once Admiral Thorne is gone, I will assume command of the fleet.
I see.
The orders I had just read mentioned more than a change in command.
You will retain the rank of general and assume command of the Marines. I'm sorry to have gone around you, Admiral, but it had to be done. I could not allow them to leave the Scutum Crux fleet in the hands of a Marine.
I understand.
Do you have any questions, Captain Harris?
No.
Admiral Thorne?
You took this directly to Admiral Brocious.
I served under him for 12 years in the Sagittarius Central Fleet. Any other questions? If neither of you have anything else to discuss, I think I'll get back to work.
I never did care for that son of a bitch.
Which son of a bitch? Brocious or Warshaw?
Either of them. Both of them.
I passed Thorne my orders.
Wason Harris, Captain, UAMC, Scutum Crux Fleet. Captain Harris, it has been brought to my attention that there are questions about the transfer of power in the Scutum Crux Fleet. Master Chief Petty Officer Gary Warshaw has lodged a formal complaint about a Marine taking control of the fleet. As the ranking naval NCO, the Master Chief believes he should assume command of the fleet. I have considered his petition and agree. You shall remain Commandant of the Marines. Further, per Master Chief Warshaw's suggestion, we shall rely upon the survivors of Terrano to elect their own planet administrator. Harris, it is vital that this transfer of command be carried out without incident. Once Admiral Thorne and his officers have transferred out, You are authorized to deal with Warshaw as you see fit. Admiral Alden Brocious, Office of the Navy.
Deal with Warshaw as you see fit? Am I misreading this, or did Admiral Brocious just authorize you to kill that poor bastard?
Let's just say he is not going to limit my options.
Can you make heads or tails of this?
Thorne slid the envelope to me. I pulled out the orders. The page was blank, except for three names.
Grayson, Moffat, Ravenwood.
Does that mean anything to you? I assume this message was meant for you as well.
Yes, sir.
What's Grayson?
Not what. Who? Colonel Aldous Grayson. He was my commanding officer for a short while.
What happened to him?
Somebody shot him.
People get shot all the time during war.
There were no enemies in the vicinity. A lot of people think I shot him.
Did you?
That's the rumor.
And Moffat? Did you kill him too?
Yeah, there were witnesses that time.
Was he the guy I knew Copenhagen? I heard about him.
There were two inquests. I was cleared of all charges both times.
What about Ravenwood? Another dead officer?
It's a planet.
You killed a planet?
The Marines had an outpost on Ravenwood.
Ravenwood outpost? Oh shit, I know about that. Do you know what happened on Ravenwood?
I know exactly what happened. Admiral Huang used it as a training ground for a new breed of SEAL clones. He used the Marines as live bait. They came, they tried to defend themselves, and they died. Huang's killer SEALs polished them off quick.
What does that have to do with you and Warshaw?
If I had to guess, I'd say he brought up Grayson and Moffat to let me know that a little friendly fire might be in order.
Yeah, I figured that out. What about Ravenwood?
War games.
Oh, they're not just sending you away. They're going to use you for target practice.
That's my guess.
My plans fell into place in the weeks after we liberated Terrano. Convinced that everyone was playing according to Hoyle, the brass began using battleships to ferry clones to our fleet. They started with one, but after another week, they upped the ante by sending three. With three big ships, they could ship 6,000 clones at a time. Given another week, they might well have completed the transfers. I played possum as the first big shipment arrived. When I heard that the battleships were coming again, I opened the books to an ally I was not sure I could trust. I found Warshaw's billet and tapped the call button on the intercom.
Yeah?
It's Harris.
What do you want?
I'm about to declare a war. Since you command the fleet, I thought I'd let you in on my plans.
I don't have time for jokes, Captain.
I'm not joking.
The Master Chief's door slid open.
You'd better not be specking with me.
Did Admiral Brocious show you the orders he sent me?
I held up the envelope.
He told me what was in them.
I don't think so.
I handed him the envelope. Warshaw pulled the letter out, his eyes focused on mine. He made no effort to hide his mistrust. Leaning against the door jamb, he unfolded the paper and read.
Deal with... as you see fit. What the speck is that supposed to mean?
Here's what he told Thorne.
I handed him the second envelope.
I don't get it. Grayson, Moffat, Ravenwood? What is that supposed to mean?
Grayson and Moffat were officers I killed. Ravenwood was a frontier outpost where they used Marines as live targets for training Navy SEALs. It doesn't sound like your buddy Brocious has your best interest in mind.
That son of a bitch. No way. No way, Harris. I don't speckin' believe it.
Yes, you do.
Brocious gave me everything I wanted. He told me I was right about everything, and he thanked me for helping him avoid a colossal mistake. That was what he called it, a colossal mistake. So this letter gives you permission to what? Shoot me? Throw me in the brig?
Or both.
But what does Ravenwood have to do with this?
That's Brocious tipping his hand. It's his way of telling me why he handed over the fleet in the first place.
And you think he gave us the fleet to use us for training exercises, is that right?
That is exactly what I think.
Even if it is true, I don't see how this changes anything. We're stuck here, Harris. They can't hit us and we can't hit them.
They can hit us.
How are they gonna hit us? With the specking Earth fleet? They have 30 self-broadcasting ships. We'd rip them a new asshole if they came out here.
We'd rip them a new asshole if they came out here in the fleet we know about.
You think they have a new fleet?
They have something we don't know about. You served with Brocious.
Damn right I did, 12 years worth.
Did you ever hear about his casino?
I heard about it.
The man does not gamble, but he has an entire casino in his house.
He gambles, he puts his money up.
He plays as the house, which buys him slightly better odds. That's how Brocious likes to play, with the odds stacked in his direction.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his M.O. He stacks the deck.
before he sends a fleet into harm's way.
You think it's new ships?
That's my guess. And you can bet they're bigger, faster, and more powerful than what we have out here.
Huh. So what do you have in mind, Harris?
We don't want to play his game if he's giving himself house odds.
Good luck attacking Earth without a self-broadcasting fleet.
Three self-broadcasting battleships are about to arrive on our doorstep.
Touching those ships would be an act of war.
They've already declared the war. I'm angling to get off the first shot.
Three battleships aren't going to do us much good. The first time we tried to take them into Earth space, Brocious would nail us.
So we don't enter Earth space. We take them someplace else. Someplace they're not expecting us to appear. We start up a salvage operation in the Galactic Eye.
The Mogad world? I thought that was destroyed.
Not the planet. The space around it. The Mogats had 400 self-broadcasting ships in their fleet.
The way I heard it, there's not much left of those ships.
That doesn't mean we destroyed the equipment inside those ships. There are 400 ships with broadcast engines and broadcast generators circling that planet. What do you want to bet that some of those generators and engines are still in working condition?
You know, General Harris, I always wanted to command my own self-broadcasting fleet.
The next week passed slowly as I orchestrated one set of missions and submitted fabricated reports for another. Officially, my Marines had begun the reclamation of Norristown. The Corps of Engineers sent 1,000-man teams to clear debris, fix roads, restore power, build farms, and bury the dead. They also refurbished Fort Sebastian. The project went quickly. Behind the scenes, my Marines scouted Terrano for a new base, food stores, and a place to build a prison. We found most of the cities in the same condition as Norristown, destroyed and populated by scared civilians. We found no rhyme or reason to the destruction. The aliens never even entered Carlton, the 10th largest city on Terrano. The people had power, sewage, even running water. The only part of the city hurt during the invasion was the spaceport, and the residents destroyed it themselves, thinking that having a working spaceport might attract the Avatari. We found several small towns, untouched but empty. The aliens might or might not have killed all of the people, but we found no corpses. The houses and stores simply sat empty, as if the people had just packed up and left. One of those abandoned burgs was Zebulon, a town with a population of 5,000 that had mysteriously whittled down to zero without leaving a suicide note. Not an organization to let things go to waste, the Corps of Engineers converted Zebulon into a relocation camp and renamed the place Outer Bliss, in honor of the Texas relocation camp outside Fort Bliss. The Corps surrounded the town with electrified razor wire fences and guard towers, then invited me to inspect its work. Tomer and I flew down for a look. The prison area was a lot nicer than the Texas facility from which it took its name. Instead of living in sheds, the inmates would occupy houses and a small hotel. They would have pools, two movie theaters, school facilities for meetings, and a gymnasium for sports. Tomer and I walked the empty streets.
This beats the hell out of Clone Town. Maybe they made it too nice.
We had reached a somewhat shady lane lined with dead trees and brick homes. Sitting on a small rise a few blocks ahead of us, an empty elementary school presided over a neighborhood that had not seen children in several years.
I used to dream about growing up in a town like this. I bet the kids used to ride bicycles down this street.
It's too specking nice. It's like we're sending the bastards on a specking vacation.
It's a prison, Harris. They aren't going to like it.
Back on the Kamehameha, I tapped the intercom button outside Admiral Thorne's quarters.
What is it, Harris?
It's about transfers.
Very well.
Thorne was no fool. When he saw the two MPs I brought with me, he knew the score. He stood and stared past me, into the hall, watching the MPs.
You're making your move. Am I under arrest?
We're not arresting anybody.
You're not gonna kill...
I had the Corps of Engineers convert a small town into a relocation camp. It's a damn sight better than what they put us in back on Earth.
Is that what this is about? Is this revenge or revolution?
Both.
I can help you, you know. There's nothing for me back on Earth. I have more ties here than I do on Earth.
Help me what?
I can help you run the fleet. I can help you fight your war. You found some way to get back to Earth, didn't you? You wouldn't do this if you didn't know what you were doing. I can help.
Why would you do that?
Harris, they transferred me to the Scutum Crux fleet 37 years ago. I've spent more of my life on these ships than on Earth. The fleet is my home. My parents died while I was still at the Naval Academy. I can't think of anyone I care about on Earth.
You are an officer of the Unified Authority Navy. I'd be crazy to trust you.
I can help you. I have command experience. Can we speak man to man? Can we at least discuss my offer before you arrest me, General?
I'm not arresting you.
But you are placing 20,000 men in a prison camp.
I prefer the term relocation camp. And as of the last transfer, you're down to about 15,000 natural borns.
Let's be honest with each other, General. Who's going to run your fleet? Gary Warshaw, the man Brocious appointed? He's a good sailor, but he's an engineer. There's a reason why the Navy never promotes engineers to the rank of admiral. They don't have the background to command a ship. They fix things, they don't run them. How do you think Warshaw's gonna do in a battle?
There's always Franks.
Lilburn Franks. Well, he'd be better than Warshaw. At least he spent time on a bridge. He's smart, too. But he's loyal to Warshaw through and through. He'll never be loyal to you. Give him a chance and Franks will stick a knife in your back.
Admiral, you have a transport waiting on you, sir.
At least think about what I said.
I'll take it under advisement. Other than Warshaw, only Tomer and Hollingsworth knew my agenda. Six transports sat in the starboard docking bay of UAN Washington, a big Perseus-class fighter carrier. Six more sat in the portside docking bay. In all, the transports had enough space to ferry 1,200 men to the self-broadcasting battleships moored just outside our fleet. The plan was to load the transports with 1,200 natural-born officers, but we were about to stray from the script. We would load the birds with Marines in combat armor. The UAN Washington had been one of the first ships in my fleet to go all clone. The ship had also become a de facto transfer terminal. The self-broadcasting battleships sent transports filled with clones transferring to the Scutum Crux fleet to the Washington and received transports filled with natural borns returning to Earth from that ship. The ritual was about to end. First, we needed to remove the Earth fleet pilots from their transports before they could set off any alarms. We sent two-man teams to seize the transports, men with commando training who knew how to work quietly and would not hesitate to commit murder. If a pilot managed to do so much as tap his microphone, we would find ourselves stuck in the Scutum Crux arm forever. The sergeant on my team would receive a field promotion to major once we became the enlisted man's Marine Corps. He had been in the Corps for 20 years. I stole up to the rear of the transport, held my gun ready, and peered inside. For this op, I used an S9 stealth pistol, a sidearm developed specifically for covert operations. The S9 used magnetic actuation to fire flechettes with iron shafts and depleted uranium tips. The kettle was empty.
Clear.
The sergeant slipped ahead of me and up the ramp.
Clear.
I shuffled up the ramp. I kept my pistol raised and ready, aimed on the door of the cockpit, my finger tight across the trigger. Hiding behind one of the girder ribs of the ship, I signaled the sergeant to catch up.
I'm going up.
The sergeant glided into a shadowy niche from which he had a clear line of sight to the cockpit.
I've got your back.
I crept up the ladder.
Transport 3 is secured.
Tomer had captured his bird. There was an 8-foot climb from the floor of the kettle to the narrow catwalk that led to the cockpit door.
Captain, I can see him in there. Is he coming out? Standing in the doorway. Think he heard me? I can't tell. Okay, he's moving back in.
I climbed to the top of the ladder, walked to the door of the cockpit, and swung in. The pilot started to reach for his communication set, then stopped.
Don't be stupid.
He looked at me, nervousness and indecision showing in his expression. Despite my warning, he reached for the microphone. I waited until I heard from all 11 of my teams. Then I added that we had captured the lead transport. I also sent the message to Warshaw. That was his signal to radio the battleships that their transports were en route. Once we captured the transports, it only took 15 minutes to load our Marines. We would not use stealth pistols for the next part of the mission. We would use M27s loaded with standard rounds. Each of the battleships carried a 5,000-man crew. We'd be outnumbered 10 to 1. Long odds. With the natural-born pilots dead or captured, we used our newly trained Marine pilots to fly the transports. Our pilots sealed the kettle doors and started toward the atmospheric locks. Once again, I found myself standing in the crush of 100 Marines crammed into a kettle.
Listen up, Marines. This little chat is the only briefing you will get on this op. The objective of this exercise is to commandeer ourselves a trio of battleships. I don't know what kind of resistance we will run into, but we are dealing with sailors here. I don't expect them to put up too big a fight. Any questions?
Sir, who is the enemy?
The new Navy. New Navy, sir. The brass at Navy headquarters wants us to train their new all-natural-born Navy by testing it against us.
Are we packing blank rounds and dummy grenades?
Good guess, but dead wrong. We're using live rounds, boys. Tag them and bag them. This is a full-contact exercise. We use live rounds on maneuvers. Today, it is man against man. In another month, they will bring their new ships out here, and we'll get to see how nicely they play the game. Now, listen up. Drill or no drill, we are going to lose men. This is military Darwinism, boys. One side lives, and one side dies. Let's show them what a clone force can do.
We only had a minute before we would reach the battleship, and I had one more order to give.
I'm looking for the smallest body count that gets the job done. If they surrender, take them alive. Otherwise, just remember, we're doing this for the good of the Unified Authority.
We were sending four companies to board each of the three battleships. All of my company commanders and platoon leaders had their assignments. Maps of the ships and virtual beacons had been programmed into every man's visor. The capital ships in the UA Navy carried a detachment of Marines who handled ship security. As far as I knew, the Unified Authority no longer trained new Marines. That meant these ships would either have sailors carrying guns or soldiers doing the work of Marines. Neither option impressed me. As long as they let us dock.
Captain Harris, we're cleared to land.
My pilot had just given me the 30-second warning.
The watchword on this op is speed. Hit hard, hit fast.
I moved to the rear of the ship. My Marines lined up behind me, pressing against my back. Staring down the ramp, I saw technicians servicing the engines and deckhands running errands, all unarmed and unsuspecting. They paid no attention to me as I clambered down the ramp. I did not need to look back to know that the mechanics working on the engine were dead. My Marines had begun the assault. Hearing the commotion, the techs near the door finally looked up, only curiosity showing on their faces. Then they saw the parade of armor-clad Marines and reacted. One ran for the communications panel on a nearby wall. The other ran for the door. I raised my weapon. When I reached the door, I pressed my boot against the dead man's shoulder and slid his bloody body out of the way. The corridor outside the docking bay was nearly empty. Empty enough that I did not worry that anyone heard the shots, since we had equipped our M27s with suppressors. With 100 men following behind me, I headed toward the bridge. Another 100 headed aft, toward the engine room. That left 200 men to locate the armory and neutralize whatever resistance the sailors offered. The hall from the docking bay to the center of the ship was long and straight, wide enough for 10 men to walk abreast. The way was bright and surprisingly empty. We slipped through the halls quickly, making only a half-hearted attempt to keep ourselves concealed.
Check every door. It's like a ghost town. Beta team report?
Upon leaving the docking bay, we had split into four squads. Beta was the team I sent to capture engineering. Alpha, my squad, would take the bridge. Gamma would look for the armory, assuming the ship had one. Delta would watch the halls and squish anything that looked dangerous.
We're approaching the engine room. Like they're taking a lunch break or something. There's only a couple techs here.
Secure the area and report. Gamma.
We have the armory.
Any problems?
Just a dumbass janitor who tried to run.
I had to cap him.
Anyone else there? Delta?
Still deploying.
Okay, Delta leader. Fast and quiet. If they don't stop and drop, waste them.
Swinging around a doorway, I saw five sailors lazing around a coffee dispenser.
What do I do with him?
A sergeant pointed to the scared shell of a man kneeling on the floor with his hands laced behind his head.
Guard him.
What about?
We either guard him or kill him. Your choice.
I switched to an open frequency.
Listen up, Alpha. This break room is now our official holding pen. If you take a prisoner, you bring him here.
The sergeant cracked his M27 against the back of the sailor's head.
Stay down there, asshole.
The corridor funneled into a wide berth near the center of the ship. As we reached this area, we finally ran into resistance. I ducked against a wall and peered around the corner. The shooter hid behind a bulkhead.
You three, flank him, take him.
As I fired a few shots, they scampered back down the hall and took an alternate route.
All clear, sir.
We went up the stairs leading to the next deck.
Beta, report.
We have control of engineering, sir.
That's it?
Killed a guy.
Any prisoners?
Oh yeah, 63 of them. There was a guy who took a swing at me with a wrench, but everyone else gave up without a fight.
Captain, we secured the lower decks.
It was the Delta team leader.
Any problems at the Marine compound?
The deck was empty, sir.
There are no Marines in the compound?
It's an empty space, sir. The whole compound is empty. There's not even any racks in the barracks.
I considered this as we reached the bridge. The captain of the ship could have sealed off the bridge, but he didn't. The hatch stood wide open. We had not seen any real resistance. On the bridge, the captain of the ship made his stand as best he could. He met us at the entrance, flanked by six men carrying M27s. He and the two armed men beside him wore the khaki uniforms of officers, a one-star admiral with a captain and a commander by his side. The four men behind them were simple seamen.
What is the meaning of this, clone?
I am commandeering your ship.
Clone, this is treason.
I'm not going to have a death reflex, but if I hear you say that word one more time, I will shoot you on the spot.
You son of a bitch. You're behind this, aren't you? You're that liberator clone.
Tell your men to lay down their arms.
And then what? You've already committed treason. How about murder? How many of my men have you already killed?
Admiral, I am running out of patience.
The Admiral told his men to drop their weapons with no more than a nod.
You do know they will come for you. You cannot possibly get away with this.
They were always going to come for us. We were sent here for combat exercises.
You're damn right you were. And you will get everything you have coming to you.
The Admiral surrendered the bridge, and we captured three battleships without taking a single casualty. Senior Chief Petty Officer Perry Fahey, now wearing full face makeup that included lipstick, rouge, and false eyelashes, along with mascara, opened the next staff meeting.
Captain Harris, I hear congratulations are in order. You managed to hijack three ships filled with unarmed sailors on a peaceful mission without losing a single man. Well, that's quite an accomplishment. What's next on your agenda? Blowing up a school for girls?
You said that entire line without stuttering or wetting your pants, Senior Chief. Well done.
I don't stutter.
Really? You stuttered up a storm at our last meeting.
You got us in a specking war. What are you going to do next, bomb Terrano?
Maybe they had rehearsed the whole thing. Fahey's outburst gave Warshaw the opportunity to position himself as an officer statesman.
You did assure me that those ships had come to fight.
No, Master Chief, I never said any such thing. I said that the Unified Authority plans to use our fleet to practice maneuvers.
There weren't even any Marines on board those ships. It seems clear to me that they did not come to fight.
The Earth fleet has 32 battle... Excuse me. As of 2 days ago, the fleet has 29 self-broadcasting battleships. It has 25 self-broadcasting destroyers and a few self-broadcasting cruisers. How many battleships do we have?
Warshaw and his crew sat mute. Hollingsworth leaned forward.
I believe we have 90 battleships, sir.
90, you say? Why, 90? That's more than 30.
I believe it's 3 times more, sir.
3 times, you say, Tomer?
I turned to Warshaw.
I don't expect they'll make too much of a fuss over those ships.
So which is it, Harris? You don't get it both ways. Are we so much stronger than them that they're afraid to come after us, or are they planning to use us for target practice?
Franks asked that question. If the son of a bitch analyzed and responded this effectively in battle, he'd make a hell of a captain.
They're not ready to attack us just yet.
This is why the Navy always commands. I suppose we're both guilty on this one. I should have known better than to listen to you.
With the broadcast network down, the Navy would not be able to verify the fate of those battleships without sending ships out to investigate. In a few hours, the brass would realize that their three battleships were not coming back. They would suspend any flights, pending an investigation. Once intelligence determined that we had commandeered their ships, they would abort the transfer entirely. For all intents and purposes, I had received my field promotion to general. Warshaw was now an acting admiral, and though our ranks were similar, our authority was not. He commanded the ships, I commanded the Marines, a body of fighting men that he and his sailors considered just another form of cargo. Warshaw would do whatever he thought he needed to preserve his command. The next time I left the ship, for instance, I might not be allowed back. I left the conference room and headed for the Marine compound, Tomer and Hollingsworth in tow.
Okay, Sergeant Hollingsworth, why in hell was Fahey in full drag? The bitch was wearing everything but a dress and wig.
Why are you asking me?
Well, you said you knew him. You said he's a good man.
That doesn't speck and make me his fashion consultant.
Okay, fine. Why do you think he came to the meeting like that?
It seems pretty obvious.
It does?
You confiscated makeup from the bitches on the ship. He came in kabuki face to show he isn't scared of you. Seems pretty obvious.
Yeah, I should have known it was something like that.
Do you want to go get drunk?
Not today.
How about you?
Sounds good. You don't mind if we get drunk?
Enjoy your last minutes as enlisted men. When you return from the bar, you'll be a brigadier general and a full bird colonel.
I returned to my billet to relax. After turning off the lights, I climbed into my rack, then groped along the table beside my bed until I found the pair of Media Link shades that I had checked out from the commissary. The shades let me tap into the ship's media center. Since returning from Terrano, I had been reading the collected works of Friedrich Nietzsche. The soft ring of my communications console broke into my thoughts. When I answered, Warshaw was staring at me.
I need you to report to the bridge right now.
What is it?
You're either a prophet, Harris, or you've gotten us all killed.
More UA ships?
A lot of them.
How many is a lot?
20 battleships.
That's half their fleet.
There's no backing out now, Harris. I hope you were right about everything.
It took me 5 minutes to get from my billet to the bridge. Warshaw and one of his top NCOs, Senior Chief Hank Bishop, met me when I arrived. Well, he had been a senior chief. Now that we had broken relations with Washington, Bishop was the captain of the Kamehameha. Warshaw led me to a large table in the center of the bridge. On the table, a holographic display showed our fleet and the intruders as quarter-inch, three-dimensional models on a green and black grid. Our ships filled the center of the grid. The UA ships moved along the edge of the display.
Why haven't you sounded the alarms?
If we sound general quarters, they'll hear it. The fleet comm system notifies all UA ships in the area when one ship sounds general quarters.
Well, what's so bad about that?
That's not how we do things in the Navy. We don't go off half-cocked.
I don't see what's wrong with telling them we're ready for a fight. They came here looking for a fight. We should let them know that we're willing to give it to them.
They will take it as a sign of guilt, like we have something to hide. Why the hell do I bother even trying to explain these things to a Marine?
Because you need me as much as I need you.
For now. Here is the situation, Harris. They sent two unarmed research vessels to look for their ships. The only contact we have had was with those first ships. They asked us if we knew what happened to their battleships. We told them that we haven't seen them. Apparently, they don't believe us.
20 self-broadcasting ships. If we could take them...
We can't. If we make a move, they'll broadcast out.
What would you do if you were in their shoes? What if an enemy stole three of your tanks?
They don't have a hound's breath of a chance against us, not with only 20 battleships.
Obviously. That is why they haven't engaged us. They're staying well out of firing range.
But they are in an offensive formation.
It's aggressive, but not offensive. They're still far enough apart to break and run if we attack.
Where are the ships we commandeered?
Over here.
Warshaw pointed to the center of the display. He'd parked the commandeered ships in the center of the fleet. As he showed me the location, something struck me. Normally testy, the Master Chief was now showing a surprising amount of patience.
There's something else, isn't there?
You were right about the Navy building a new class of ships. Our engineers found these.
He pressed a button, and the holographic image of a ship replaced the tactical map on the table.
Is this a battleship?
The three-dimensional image showed a long and slender hull. For the last 100 years, UA capital ships had been moth-shaped wedges.
We found plans for an entire fleet.
As Warshaw said this, a sailor came and saluted.
What is it, Brown?
Sir, the battleships have changed course. They're coming towards us, sir.
Sound general quarters.
Bishop struck a button on the table. Bishop fiddled with a dial on the table, and the tactical view of the ships reappeared, only more magnified.
Scramble the fighters!
Scrambling fighters, aye!
Send out all three carrier groups! Bishop, keep your fighters in close!
There was no strategy in his attack. He was simply throwing every ship in his fleet at the enemy. But strategy would not make a difference in this near battle. Bright flashes appeared on the 3D display. The enemy battleships broadcast to safety before coming close enough for us to shoot at them. Earth date, December 12, AD, 2516. Location, Golan Dry Docks. Galactic position, Norma Arm. We needed the three UA battleships for several reasons. We needed ships with broadcast engines if we ever wanted to travel beyond Terrano. Commandeering Pershing's self-broadcasting cruiser would have given us broadcast travel capabilities, but it was a runt of a ship, and we needed cargo space for what I had in mind. We also needed ships with the location of the Mogat homeworld stored on their broadcast computers, because none of us had the slightest specking idea how to find the place. The computers on the battleships we captured yielded unexpected treasures. Along with the location of the Mogat homeworld, we found external diagrams of the new ships and a tentative launch schedule. Over the next 3 years, the Unified Authority planned to swap out its old fleet for an all-new one. From what we could tell, the new ships would be slightly smaller than earlier models. Our engineers were unable to decipher the weapons. Hoping to glean a little more information about the new fleet, we decided to take a detour as we flew out to the Mogat homeworld. Lilburn Franks suggested we swing by the Golan dry docks on our way to the Mogat fleet. The dry docks sat in an otherwise unpopulated corner of Norma, the smallest and innermost of the galactic arms. We broadcasted our newly confiscated 3-ship fleet out to that remote corner of Norma.